well, getting quite a bit of echo back there. Thank you, too, for those who decorated for Christmas season and winter season and stuff. They look quite different when the lights aren't turned on, but it's good. It sets a atmosphere. It's good. Topic as we head into the new year is prayer. Do you ever just get tired of going through the motions of life? You know, how? Think of the last really significant thing that happened in your life. Can you put a time frame to it? Growing up, we moved every couple of years so I could easily place it. But most people I talk to who have lived in one place for a long time, it just starts to meld all together and they're not even sure what year that was and what happened and how things went. How about the life of this church? When's the last time something really significant happened? We watched transformation. Someone go from death to life. And we saw someone receive Christ who had no idea who they were. We saw something transform. I mean, years ago, people from this congregation were really instrumental in the having a hospital here in town. Right? There's a bunch of stories that have unfolded. People were really impacted by Bible school that was here years ago. What's God want to do with us now? How does he want to work through this congregation right now? I mean, we can sit back and go, oh, look at this news article, and just become dismayed at it. Or we can take our eyes off of that and look at the glory of God, the one who breaks into history, and he's still got a plan. Right? He's not done yet. He said, I will build my church. And nothing's going to hinder that. He's still doing it. He's going to do it through the likes of us. And it'll start as we learn how to pray. We really do need to pray. Be on the same page as him and walking in step with where he's leading and how he's leading. It's not only what we do, it's how we do it and for whom we do it. But why don't we pray more, right? I mean, I could try and guilt you into it. Lovely. Right? Sit back. We're going to have some guilt here. But really, why don't we? We know this. We've even caught glimpses of it, right? I could tell you several stories where, wow, talking about being humbled. When we're really humbled and we really ask for prayer and God shows up and we celebrate for a while, but how quickly we forget, right? And then we kind of go, especially in North America where we've got bank accounts and pantries and whatever else, how bad do we really need them moment by moment? But we really need them moment by moment. We sort of know that, but we don't live there. That's why missions trips, other things that take us outside of our usual life is so powerful. They're one of the reasons. It's an incredible opportunity. Beverly and I went Venture Teams International for 5.5 years, discipling those team members at an incredibly teachable time in their life. Well, reality is, I think, some of us don't pray because, frankly, it becomes pretty boring, right? We get so bored with prayer. It just feels like, I don't know, it's not even going past the ceiling. Hang, it's not even going up beyond my arms, for crying out loud. We just get bored with it. We say the same things about the same things over and over. And somehow it's absence of life, which is weird if we're praying to the one who is life and the giver of eternal life. But it becomes boring. I think another reason why we don't pray more is that we're so easily distracted. I know I am. Even way before I was a pastor, I need to sit far front in church because my peripheral vision is really, really good. And I notice somebody move over there, and I notice something happen over there, and I'm just so easily distracted. I have to sit far forward in church, even if I'm not the one up here. And yes, when I'm up here, I notice all that stuff moving, and it's hard to tune out to. I'm that easily distracted. But now we got more things to distract us, right? talk about distracting stuff. Oh, I just need to check my email, my Facebook. It makes a noise, so we don't have any time. We fill our schedule so full, we're just full of distraction. When do we begin to believe, or in this process, we can start to believe that we are inherently broken? That we are a bad Christian. I should pray more, but how come I find it boring and I get so easily distracted from it? Something's wrong, and well, maybe it's probably me. So I guess prayer is really for someone else. What if it's more about how we're trying to pray than who's trying to pray? What if it's more about method than me? What if there's some ways that we could go, oh, and reignite our prayer lives? That's what we want to talk about this morning. I want to review some basics. I've covered these before, but it's quite a while for some of this. But to have an active prayer life or a prayer, there's a prayer life, and taking that set time of prayer aside, and there's a life of prayer where that's our first response to whatever we're facing, wherever we're going, whatever we're doing. We're talking more about the prayer life here, building in a specific time, and yes, out of that we'll have more of a life of prayer. But we need to build in time. If we're going to make prayer a priority, we need to actually make it a priority. Build in the time. And it specifically said build in the time because we're going to have to say no to something else. But this year could be absolutely transformational if we will do that. If we honor Him and put Him first, wow, He might use us, work through us in ways we haven't experienced or we haven't experienced in a long time. We may need adjusting in our schedules, or I know mine does. Like, things keep changing in our home. So I built in a great prayer time, and you know what? That time doesn't work anymore for the other members of our family, so I need to readjust it and rebuild it. Much like coaches and mentors I've had throughout the years. I get one set, and it's great. We're moving along, and something changes. They move away, or this happens, and I got to rebuild that part of life. Prayer's like that. We need to rebuild it. So build in a time and push something else aside. Make a space as well. Where there's, get rid of the distractions. Don't do it in front of the computer or anywhere near the computer or the cell phone or whatever else you find really distracting. Take some time and go, God, I want to hear You. I want to experience You. Where are You leading me, guiding me? Third, this gets more back to the method, but use a tool. It's okay to try something different, change it up, rather than just trying to be super holy and godly and sit down and pray the perfect, beautiful, wonderful prayer every day, because nobody really does that. That's just something out there. Here's a reintroduction of a couple of prayer tools I've mentioned in the past, but grab hold of one of these and then try it for a time. I keep switching throughout these, but there's the ACTS acronym. Adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication. Just a simple outline that keeps you praying different types of prayers. You adore God. Who is He? Confess. Here's where my life's out of alignment right now with who You are and what You've called me to do and be. Here's thanksgiving. You're good, God, and here's how You've supplied for me. And then here's the things I ask. That's the supplication. You can use the seven types of prayer that I outlined here quite a while ago, and it's in our discipleship group guide. There's seven types of prayer we can develop. And we can focus on one of those different times, or two of those, each time we meet with God. It keeps it fresh and alive. We can use the acronym PRAYER. Pray, I mean. Praise God. Repent. Going our own way, our own selfish attitudes, whatever. Align with God, adore God, adoration, and then yield and go, wherever You lead, I'm coming there. I'm going to follow You, recommit ourselves. and the Bible. I don't think we utilize the tool of the Bible very well. That's the one I want to focus on here this morning. How to use the Bible as a tool for prayer to reignite our prayer lives and our life of prayer. So first, think about that. Keep thinking about that. We're going to utilize a tool here even this morning and practice it a wee bit. Try something different. I'm going to read a short poem here by William Cowper. What various hindrances we meet in coming to a mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often there? Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every breath blessing from above. Restraining prayer, we cease to fight. Prayer makes the Christian's armor bright, and Satan trembles when he sees even the weakest saint upon his knees. While Moses stood with arms spread wide, success was found on Israel's side. But when through weariness they failed, that moment Amalek prevailed. Have you no words? Think again. Words flow apace when you complain and fill your fellow creature's ear with the sad tale of all your care. Were half the breath thus vainly spent to heaven in supplication sent, your cheerful song would oftener be, "Hear what the Lord has done for me." Won't you long for more of that last line? Hear what the Lord has done for me. Here's how God's answered prayer this week. Here's how he's actively leading me. Here's what he's teaching me. And it's a current journey. It's not, you know, I remember 30 years ago. Oh my goodness. If that's the last time we've heard the risen Lord and Savior, man, we've got one foot in the grave and the other one on a banana peel. Spiritually speaking. It's got to be current, and I'm sure it is, but how can we just open it some? How can we adjust our lives, even by a few degrees, instead of just going through the same old daily routine and whatever else, adjust it and move closer to God just by a few degrees. Boy, a few months from now, a few years from now, we can be in a very different place with God and how he's flowing through us. Hear what the Lord has done for me. Right? Would be just flowing out of us. We would have natural testimonies just every day. So we want to pray. Pray today. And pray Scripture. So with praying Scripture, what? There's an author. Let's see if we can find his name. I have it later in my notes. Donald Whitney. I've done some reading of his. He really suggests this. Praying Scripture. And tools to help with different, how to pray different types of Scripture, right? There's narrative, there's story, there's whatever else. We're just going to deal with some of the more simple kinds here this morning. To get us started, here's how to pray through Scripture. The Bible comes alive, becomes more of a dialogue. All sorts of good things can happen. So take it verse by verse. Here's a 1 Thessalonians 2. I'm going to read the verse, then I'm going to pray. That's the way this works. Read it, pray. Pray it through. 1 Thessalonians 2, 1 says, "For you yourselves know," this is Paul writing to the church in Thessalonica, "for you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain." And that might bring up, here's some prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the one who came to me with your gospel. Thank you for his or her faithfulness to share the words of eternal life in Jesus. Thank you for opening my eyes to my need of your salvation so that I did not receive your gospel in vain. Move on to verse 2. The first part of it says, "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know." Then a couple words might stand out to you in that, reading that. We suffered. or being shamefully treated might stand out because you're currently facing something, or you're suffering, or you're being shamefully treated. You're enduring something in your life, or you've heard of someone who is suffering and being shamefully treated recently. And so you pray about that suffering and what you're experiencing or that person's experiencing. Then you shift into praying for those who are facing persecution. They're certainly suffering and shamefully treated. More Christians have been killed yesterday, even. Every day, people are killed for their faith. Their family suffers. And so pray for them. There's lots going on in China and India and Middle East, right? This all flows out of part of a verse. Increasingly in North America, people are suffering. They're losing their job because they take a stand for Jesus. Second part of verse 2. We had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. Just ponder that last half of the verse for a second. After finishing reading this verse, you might pray something like, oh God, grant me a boldness to declare your gospel to those around me, in school, in work, my neighbors. May my confidence be in you, not in me, or in my method, but in a God who loves us, God who breaks into history. Give me a God confidence that you are working in their life and through mine. I might finish this thought with then boldness, desiring a boldness for other believers as well. Those in China, those being persecuted, those in North America, would we together all have a boldness and a confidence in Jesus? In praying Scripture, an easy way to start this is to take the prayers of Scripture and pray those, make them our own. Some examples are Ephesians 1:15-23, Ephesians 3:14-21, Philippians 1:9-11. Grab one of those and pray that prayer, make it your own, respond to it, but send it back to God and listen. What's he saying about this? And praying Scriptures, yes, we can pray the prayers of Scripture. A great place to start is Psalms. This is where Donald Whitney's book comes in. He really suggests praying a psalm a day. Take a psalm, pray it through. There's prayers of ascent, there's prayers of praise, there's prayers of lamentation and confession and all sorts of things. These open up our prayer lives in ways that we're not just going to happen to come along if we just sit down and say the same thing about the same things all the time. But we can pray differently. And we're inspired. So what he suggests is daily prayer. As you see some of them on the screen there, you take one psalm and then add 30 to it, basically the length of a month. So you look at on one day, on the first of the month, right? You just start with the date of the on the calendar date. So if it's the first, you take Psalm 1, 31, 61, 91, 121. That's just 1 plus 30 plus 30 plus 30 plus 30. An easy way to sit down, all you got to know is what date it is. And you pull out the Psalms and you go, but quickly look at those five and pick one. This one stands out to me for whatever reason. Don't spend a long time picking it. Grab it and then pray through it. Read a verse, what comes to mind? Pray that through. Read the next verse, pray that through. So today is the 29th. That's the date. Add 30, 59. Psalm 89. Actually, he suggests skip over 119 because it's a whopper. And utilize that one on the months where there's 31 days in the month. And then 149. So out of those four Psalms, 29, 59, 89, and 149, quickly pick one, read a verse, pray it, read a verse, pray it. And walk through it. There's a bunch of Psalms. If this is still kind of daunting, scary, take one of your favorite Psalms There's a bunch of them, like 23, 27, 31, 32, 37. These are all pretty common. As you start to read them, you'll realize, hey, man, I've been singing this for years, or I've memorized parts of this without even trying. It's just there. 51, 66, 31, or 103, 139. These are just suggestions. But grab one of your favorites and pray it through. I forget now, but when I was back in college, I spent a semester, or maybe it was a whole year, I can't remember, every morning praying Psalm 51. What a powerful journey that was. I still remember several things God did just by being so intentional in that Psalm. And it's still meaningful to me now, decades later. That's 8 years ago, somewhere in there. But find a way. Start somewhere and grab hold of one of those. So pick a favorite if you want. We're actually going to practice this just real briefly right now. We're going to grab a psalm. I'm going to bring up Psalm 37 on the screen, so you can use that if you want. Or grab one of your favorites. We're just going to practice it for a few minutes just to help us experience it briefly before we close the service. Psalm 37 will come up on the screen. I'll read it out loud. Give us a few minutes. Take some time. Actually, I won't even read it out loud. You can read it off the screen or out of your Bible, or if I don't want to interrupt those reading their favorites. So it'll come up there, and then just pray what comes to mind. We're okay with silence, I hope. Hopefully it's okay to pray in the Lord's house. He said my house would be a house of prayer. So let's do it. But let's actively pray. Let's expect God to answer. Let's expect God to meet us in a different way, a new and fresh way. Let's try this. So we've got the first four verses up there. Read them. See what stands out. Pray. Let's talk to God. That's all prayer is expressing our thoughts to Him and waiting for an answer. And expressing some more thoughts, waiting for an answer. Ready? Let's pray.